Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 142 and 143. Psalm 142, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so Psalm 142, a maskil of David. Of course, maskil comes from that Hebrew word shakal, which means wisdom, a psalm of instruction, a prayer when he was in the cave. I believe this means the cave of Adullam, when it seems that all of the misfits and miscreants and other quote-unquote rebels from Israel came to him when he was fleeing from the face of King Saul. And so we might say that this is one of the lowest points in David's earthly life. When David was in the cave, he was surrounded by men. We find out later that under the hand of the Lord, those men turned out to be pretty mighty. They were mighty men. But when we read about it in its establishment, when they came to him, it's those that were displaced, those that were ill-friended, those that were otherwise cast off. they came to David. David himself was cast off. And so David finds himself cast out from the presence of the nation, from the presence of the Lord, and surrounded by those who have also been thusly mistreated. And so it is a band of, if I can use this word, I don't use it very often, but it is a band of unfortunates. And here they are in the cave of Adullam together. He was fleeing for his life, separated from public worship and from all other earthly favor, pursued by the army of Israel who were his own brethren, and he was left to the heathen for comfort, for all earthly comfort, that is. But in that day, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Remember, that is that phrase that is used when they came back and all of the women and children had been taken, right, in Ziklag. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, even here in the cave. When we are the lowest, the Lord shows himself the best kind of comforter. But we remember that such a comfort is only had by faith. Faith in his promises and faith in his work. Lord willing, we will see a little bit later that there are times when good things come to people. But if they are not received by faith, then they are no longer good. Those things are turned to evil. And evil things, when they are received by faith, are turned to good. So here David is in the cave, and yet it is for his good. All right, so then he pours out his complaint before him. Notice, pours out. That speaks of a vehement desire to make his situation known. He is humbled by saying, "My persecutors are stronger than I am." And so he shows his trouble before the Lord. And David is not loath to pray concerning his trouble and need for deliverance. He takes confidence then in God. Even though persecuted, he declares, "Thou knewest my path." He was never outside of the watchful care, the watchful eye of his God. "Thou knewest my path," even in the cave. "And all men had failed him," he says. Of course, he's talking mostly about the king there when he says, "All men have failed me," right? Because there were others that were gathered to him that were endeavoring to be of encouragement to him. But when he says, "All men have failed me," he's talking about the king as representative of the entire nation. And so all men had forsaken him in that sense. And we notice then the wisdom of Solomon, which says what? That in the king's favor there is life, but the king's anger is as the roaring of a lion, right? And so this is a right expression when David says that he was forsaken by all men. But when all men fail, the Lord is there, he who does not fail. And so he prays before the Lord to deliver him, and the psalm ends with great confidence in the Lord's deliverance. He says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Now, we remember where David was and where David ended up. Where David was this cave. Where he ended up was exactly how he prayed. Compassed about with righteous men and dealt bountifully by the Lord. So, be confident then. Understand that earthly trials are for our good. Psalm 143, also a psalm of David. In the first section, I have that as verses 1 through 6. David desires to have a hearing with the Lord, and in his promises, David trusts. And so, notice, "Give ear to my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." So there is a particular trust that David has upon the faithfulness, the chesed of God, and in his righteousness, that God will do righteously in all of the answer. He approaches with humility and a confession of his sins and a need of being right with God, a need of justification. Right? What does he say? "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living shall be justified. Now, you see, it's times like these, it's statements like these that we forget about, and very often we are tempted to be self-righteous, or many are tempted toward a self-righteousness when David says, "Judge me according to my righteousness." But remember, it's the same David that says, "No man living can be justified in thy sight." So, how do we reconcile those things? How do we understand them? We understand them because David, in the one sense, when he talks about being judged according to his righteousness, is speaking as a prophetic type of Christ. Because David the man is clear when he says, "No man living shall be justified in thy sight." All right, next then. He pours out his request to be delivered from his enemy. Pouring out his request then to be delivered from his enemy, and he confesses that God is his only help and refuge. And then he does something that he does very, very often, and something that we are encouraged to do in the same way. Notice, he makes use of past mercies to reason to present mercies, and future mercies as well. He uses those as confidence builders for today. He recognizes that in all of those acts, it is the Lord who cares for him. And so to the Lord he goes for mercy. Brothers and sisters, when you are in straits, when you are in difficulty, when you are in affliction, reason from past mercies to present mercies and future mercies, right? All right, so then verse 7 through the end, he has several requests. Let's look at those requests. First of all, he says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth." So he is confessing humbly that he has no strength in himself and relies then upon the Lord's hearing him. He asks that the Lord would, quote unquote, "not hide thy face from me," and then knowing the consequence of such an estate, "lest I be like those that go down to the pit." Now, we know that the Lord doesn't have a face. We're not talking about a literal face here. What we're talking about is God's favorable presence. I guess we could also make a really interesting use of that, couldn't we? How many times are we tempted because we're busy, because we're unthinking, that when we speak to one another, we're focused on something, and so we begin to speak to one another without turning our face toward one another? We live in a rude age. Very often, we speak to one another without making eye contact, without giving that kind of respect and honor to one another. Notice that David asks that the Lord would show him the favor of turning his face toward him. That's a metaphor. Yes, it is a metaphor. But it also is instructive for us that we should turn our faces one toward another, to show with one another that we have a hearing one from another, right? So then here we have David asking for the Lord's favor, that he would turn his face toward him, because if he does not, without that favor, without that, speaking anthropopathically there, without that honor that the Lord gives to us by turning his face toward us, without that attention from the Lord, we are like those that go down to the pit. In other words, in God's favor is life, and without his favor, there is no life at all. All right, so then he goes on to ask the Lord for an early hearing. "Cause thy loving kindness to be heard in the morning." Now, there is a reflexive understanding there as well. If David is asking for the Lord's loving kindness in the morning, or that he would know it in the morning, what is David doing in the morning? Where will he be found in the morning? He will be found seeking that favor so that he might receive it. I'm so glad that I read The Christian in Complete Armor one time, at least, such that we can hear from William Gurnall when he says, "If you're going to pray, make sure you're working in accordance with your prayers. Put feet to your prayers. The shipmaster will pray in the face of the ship sinking if he doesn't have his hand on the bilge pump? Right? Pray and pump. Pray and put feet to your prayers. All right, so what a great way to put that. So he asked then for instruction. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, because, for, key in the Hebrew, I lift my soul unto thee. What is it to lift the soul unto God? It is Romans 12:1. It is to offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. That's what it means. It's like those heave offerings that were lifted up before the Lord. And so David says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, because I lift my soul unto thee. What does it mean to give yourselves as offerings to the Lord? It means that you will stop living according to your will and live according to His. You have laid down your life, an offering unto Him, or lifted up your life as an offering to Him. All right, so then he asks for deliverance and then for guidance. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me to the land of uprightness. He confesses not only that he needs God's instruction, but the Spirit of God to make that instruction effectual to him, to cause it to stick. All right, so then finally he pleads for mercy, for righteousness, and he pleads the righteousness and the mercy of the Lord as his defense, and not his own worthiness. Thus ends Psalm 143. Let's stand and call.